so full and free that he has offered unto us, not because we deserved it, not because we earned it, but because he chose to do it in his great love. And I'm thankful for that tonight. If you got your Bibles tonight, we're going to the book of Daniel. It's been a while since I got put on the spot preaching. Growing up, I got put on the spot kind of often. The area I grew up in, it was several churches in the area, and I'd go visit them, and it wasn't uncommon to show up at a church in a midweek service if I was visiting, if they had a different midweek than my church. And it wasn't uncommon if the pastor knew me, and I'd walk in the door, and he'd be like, "All right, you doing good?" "Yeah, I'm doing good. It was good to see you." "Well, hey, bring a sermon with you. Come on and preach for us tonight." That was not uncommon. I'm not always saying it was the best practice, but it was not uncommon. And so I learned to be ready. And I remember there was time I'd go places and I would just hope, man, maybe they'll get me to preach tonight. And, you know, I would never ask a pastor to preach. I was never that type. If you want to get me to preach, you ask me to preach. If not, I'll just sit on the pew and listen. But I got blessed with that opportunity many times. And so I started just being ready. I learned it at a young age. You just be ready. Have something to say, because you never know when it might come out. Well, I'll be honest with you. This is something that I was planning on maybe preaching it next Sunday. Just a thought that had come to my mind, and then all of a sudden, all the events transpired this afternoon with Brother Matthew, him not being able to make it, and I sat down there at my desk. I said, "Well, Lord, I need you. Where am I going to go here?" And I just felt to share with you a little bit here out of Daniel chapter 9. Just a little different message tonight. Some things that I want to highlight here. It's, not everything that we're going to read in these verses. And we're going to do a little bit of reading before we get started, because I want you to at least go over these verses one time before we preach through them. But when we go through this, not everything applies to us, but there are a lot of things here I believe we can apply to our prayer life. And the title of my message tonight is simply this: praying for your people, praying for your people. And let's look at Daniel's prayer here in Daniel chapter 9. Let's begin reading in verse 1, and we're going to do a little bit of reading, so keep your Bibles handy here. Daniel 9 and 1, if you're there, say amen. "In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments, we have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled even by departing from the precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings and our princes, and our fathers, and unto all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces, as at this day to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and unto all Israel that are near and that are afar off, though all the countries whither thou hast driven them, because of their trespass that they have trespassed against thee. O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face, to our kings, to our princes, and to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him." I like that. "Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants the prophets. Yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore, the curse is poured out or poured upon us, and that oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him. And he hath confirmed his words, which he spake against us and against our judges that judged us, by bringing upon us a great evil. For under the whole heaven hath not been done as hath been done unto Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil is come upon us. Yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth. Therefore hath the Lord watched upon the evil, and hath brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous in all of his works which he doeth, for we obeyed not his voice. And now, O Lord our God, that hast brought thy people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, and hast gotten thee renown, as at this day we have sinned, we have done wickedly. O Lord, according to thy loving, or according to thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from thy city, Jerusalem, thy holy mountain, because for our sins and for the iniquity of our fathers, Jerusalem and thy people are become a reproach to all that are about us. Now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. O my God, incline thine ear and hear. Open thine eyes and behold our desolations and the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousness, but for thy great mercies. Verse 19, last verse we're reading, I promise. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not. For thine own sake, O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. As I said tonight, I just want to preach. Got a few points here in these verses I want to highlight. Simply on praying for your people. Praying for your people. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for the truth contained therein. And Lord, as we look across our nation tonight, we can see it filled with see as iniquity abounds and the love of many waxes cold. But Lord, I pray that you'd reach down in our midst, Lord, and you would help us to have a heart like Daniel, to cry out to you, Lord, and to believe that you can once again move and save and deliver even in this hour, Lord. I pray, Lord, have mercy on America. Have mercy on our country, on our state, upon our very city, Lord. And we believe you for it, because unto you belong righteousness. Unto you belongs mercy. And we call out to you for that righteousness and for that mercy in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. As we look here at Daniel chapter number 9, I want you to look first of all, what prompted Daniel to pray this prayer? Like Daniel, we will not pray unless something prompts us to do so. I just want to begin by asking you this. How many of us have spent some significant time recently out of the time that we get to pray to ask God to move in our nation? I understand, you know, I'll get into it in a little bit, but I understand that we may never see a national revival. We may never have a president again elected rightfully into office that is a God-fearing Christian in the truest sense of the term. But let me ask you something. Does our outlook on what this nation is involved in, does it cause us to give up on praying? Does it cause us to set aside our supplication and our intercession? Because let me tell you, America may face the judgment of God, but there are people that are lost and they are ignorant and they are undone without him. And how many will God hold us responsible before because we felt like praying for America, praying for our nation was just beyond hope? Let's look at the things that prompted Daniel to cry out unto God. Notice it's an understanding of the book that brings this on. Daniel 9 and 2, he said, I, Daniel, understood by the books of the number of years whereof the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the prophet. There in verse number 2, we'll stop right there. But Daniel understood something from reading the words of God's prophets. Let me tell you, prophecy is meant to be understood, perhaps not in every detail, but certainly in its main points. God meant it to be understood. You know, Daniel couldn't read 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 16, oh, because it was not yet written by the hand of Paul. But I believe that Daniel absolutely believed that the word of God is profitable. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. Oh, what does Daniel do? What prompts him to pray this prayer that we just read? He opened up the word of God and he began to read, and he said, oh God, my heart has been moved within me. Oh, I like what one writer said. He said, these verses show how Daniel, or show that Daniel was a diligent student of Scripture who built his prayer life on the Word of God. Can I tell you, whether you're interceding for your nation or whether you're just praying there at the house for your own needs, oh, build your prayer life on the Word of God. Build it upon that, and I promise you, you'll never go wrong. I'm not talking about just sitting there and quoting random verses just as they come to your mind necessarily. But I'm talking about knowing how to take the word of God, present it before the throne room, and cry out to the one who hears us when we pray. Let our Bible study drive us to the prayer closet, was what I wrote down. Let our Bible study drive us to the prayer closet. You know, I know we come in here and we do our Sunday morning rituals of, and it's good. I love Sunday school. I love our midweek Bible study. But let me tell you, more than just studying the Bible, we need to let those scriptures get on the inside of us and drive us to a prayer closet. Oh, you know what? I give the invitation to come to the altar. I don't give it every time I preach. Oh, but more than just coming down to an altar and making an empty profession, I want you to take it home and put it into action. Let the word of God drive us to the prayer closet and crying out to God and say, Lord, hear our cry, because you promised us that we have this confidence that whatsoever we ask in your name, you will do it. That is what the scriptures declare. Oh, there is no word that can prevail in prayer like the word of God. Oh, you know, I have a book there in my office. It's called The Valley of Vision, and it's filled with these Puritan men from the 1700s, these Puritan men who wrote down their prayers unto God. And you know what? I like to go through and read that prayer book, not necessarily to repeat it, but I use it as a devotional, because you know what I found out about those Puritan prayers? Oh, they're filled with scripture. I don't agree with all the theology there. They were Calvinists. There's some things there that I just disagree with, but I'm going to tell you, they were rich in scripture, and I can see a glimpse into the prayer lives of men who believed in praying the word of God, crying out to God, because I'll tell you, there is no word that prevails in prayer like the word of God. How often do you take that scripture to the prayer closet and say, Lord, you promised me this, and you quote that verse and you say, Lord, I'm going to stand upon what you have promised. This is what prompts Daniel to pray here. Now he's an older man. He's been through a lot. He's been in exile. He knows what it is to be in Babylon a while, and here he is. If you will, he takes out the scroll of Jeremiah and he's trying to understand what's going on around him, and he begins to pray, and it is a prayer that is prompted from his Bible study. You know, Daniel's calling and station in life made it less likely that he would be such a man of prayer. He was a high government official.
He undoubtedly had a lot of responsibility, but let me tell you, he knew where to keep his priorities. And prayer was not something that was dispendable. It wasn't something that if I get time at the end of my day when I've done absolutely everything else and I've served in the king's court all day, I'll just come home and give God my leftovers. No, that's not how Daniel lived. He said, I'm going to give God my best. I'm going to put my best foot forward to cry out to him and have him hear my voice. Oh, I say, God, let it be that the last words that come out of our mouth in a day is our prayers unto God, but also let it be our first words that come out of our mouth when we arise in the day. I'm not talking about you have to fall out of bed and pray for an hour, 2 hours, but maybe just for a couple of minutes. Oh, just sit on the bedside and say, thank you, Lord, because in your word you promise that every day your mercies would be new. And I am seeing that promise fulfilled as I arise today. Oh, yes, this was what prompted him to pray this prayer. He opened up the Word of God there too, if you would. He didn't have the Bible like we do, but he opened up the scroll of Jeremiah and he began to read, and it's going to lead him to the prayer closet. Number two, notice the preparation of Daniel. You know what? If we're really going to intercede like we should, it's going to take some preparation on our part. I felt challenged even in this, and I'll go back and maybe share more later at another time. But I said it before, this is an election year. And you know what? If we're not careful, we'll say, well, you know, what's done is done, and God knows what's going to happen in this upcoming election. Probably isn't going to go whatever way, and we'll just throw it up to chance, and we'll say, well, you know, it's not really chance. God's already determined it. You know, America's got to be judged. I understand the judgment of God's coming, but how many know that God can move in the midst of even judgment? Because there might be a Daniel somewhere. There might be a Shadrach, a Meshach, and Abednego that we pray and ask God to keep his hand on. We don't even know where they're at, but we can pray and ask him to move even in the face of judgment. Oh, David's preparation to pray. Notice verse number 3. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. He said, I set my face. This implies determination in prayer. Can I ask you tonight, when you go to the prayer closet, whether you're interceding for your family members or you're interceding for your community or you're interceding for your nation, do you set your face to pray and say, Lord, I'm looking to you. I'm removing my distractions. And I'm putting my face toward you and you alone. He said, I did it to seek by prayer and supplications. Daniel wasn't passive as God's prophetic plan unfolded before him. In his approach to God, he made a request, asking God to perform his promise in the way that Daniel thought would bring God most glory. I understand something. We understand something about the prophetic calendar. We know that the next thing that's due to happen is the rapture of the church. Oh, we're watching other things come to pass leading up to that. But we understand that's the next thing on the prophetic calendar. But let us not be passive in our praying. Let us not just say, well, Lord, let me hold on till Jesus comes. Because I'm going to tell you, when the rapture of the church takes place, all the more light switch is going to go off in this world. I know there's going to be 144,000 evangelists that are going to preach the gospel during that great tribulation. But let me tell you, the moral light switch is going to be cut off until he that letteth will let, and he shall be taken out of the way. And then this world is going to be plunged into darkness. How often do we think about those that will be left behind? Take it to the prayer closet and cry out to God and say, Lord, I don't want my neighbors to be left. I believe we may be the generation that sees it. I really do. I believe it with all of my heart. Somebody say, what are you going to do? If you die at a ripe old age and it hasn't happened yet, I'm going to believe the word of God. And I'm going to keep preaching it like it might happen tomorrow, because I believe it could happen tomorrow. But I also know as much joy as his coming brings to us, it is going to plunge many into darkness. It is going to leave behind those in sorrow. It's going to leave some behind without hope. And I say, before that time comes, before he calls us away, Lord, reach even further. Let the glory of the gospel be preached unto those who either have heard it and rejected it, or those who have not heard. Oh, let our prayer and supplication be true. Let it be honest. Let it be genuine. Let it be absolute. Charles Spurgeon said one time, he said this, he said, we ask but little, and God answers our prayer. We ask but little, and God answers our prayer. I wonder how many times it is. It's not, I promise you, God not answering is not because he is not willing. I promise you that. It might not be in accordance with his plan sometimes. Sometimes we ask amiss. Sometimes he gives us the answer, just wait, and we don't like to hear that one. Oh, but I wonder how many things pass by, not because God wasn't willing, not because it wasn't in his eternal power to do it, but just simply because we have not, because we ask not. I say, Lord, let it not be for our nation. You say, Brother Shane, do you think we're going to have that worldwide revival before Jesus Christ? No, I'm not saying all that. I believe there are some that are steeped in apostasy now, and they'll make no turnaround, and they're ready now to embrace the Antichrist with all of their heart. I believe that. But can I tell you, that's not everybody. Not everybody is at that point. There's some people out there that are just in darkness, and they need to come into the marvelous light. And it, God help us, we may be a small people. Daniel was just one man in that nation, but he wasn't going to let him being in the minority stop him from praying for his nation. He said, Brother Shane, what in the world is Abundant Life Tabernacle going to do? Are we really going to have any sway in the upcoming situations in our nation? Well, I can't tell you what is and what is not in accordance with the plan of God. But I'm going to tell you, don't count out what God can do with just a few people praying, touching heaven. And if you start to count it out, go to the book of Acts and read about that 120 people that gathered in an upper room. They tarried until the Spirit of God came upon them. And inside of 30 years, they would be standing at a place thousands of miles away. And they would say, these are the men that turned the world upside down. Oh, let us not count God short of what he can do, because our faith isn't willing to arise and ask him for it. He said, I did it with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. This reflected Daniel's humble heart in approaching to God. Fasting, sackcloth, and ashes were all emblems of humiliation and mourning. He was determined to do whatever was needed to make his prayer most effective. Oh, I ask you again tonight, just a question come to my heart as I was reading through this. Are we willing to do whatever is needed to make our prayers most effective, most fervent? I'm not just talking about being able to pray them. I'm talking about being able to believe them and to keep praying them until God answers us one way or another. Or at least he answers us and tells us to wait, or that's not my will. Are we willing to do it? To do whatever it takes to make our prayers effective? I believe Daniel was willing to do that. Notice next the prayer of Daniel. We see his preparation, but notice the prayer itself. And this covers from verse 4 all the way through verse 20. And we're not going to read all these verses, so fear not. You say, Brother Shane, you've been preaching 15 minutes and you're only into verse number 3. And we're going into verse number 4. I'm not preaching through every verse here. But I want you to just notice this prayer, a little bit of how it's structured and a couple points along the way. First of all, he began his prayer with praise. This is always an acceptable way to begin prayer. No matter if you're interceding for your lost neighbor, or if you're asking God for the strength you need today, or if you're trusting Him to provide the needs that you may have in your life, it does not matter. An acceptable way to begin prayer always is to give God praise and thanks. I like how he begins it. Oh Lord, the great and dreadful God. Now you say, well, why in the world they call God dreadful? That word dreadful actually means awesome. He said, you know, he's looking at his nation that has been driven into captivity. Thousands upon thousands slain there in Jerusalem alone. The city burned with fire, destroyed and razed to the ground. They've been exiles now for about 70 years. And he's looking at all of this. And he doesn't begin his prayer, oh God, why have you forgotten us? Oh God, why are you letting all this happen in our nation? I remember how it used to be when I was a little boy, and you know, back there in Jerusalem, when we could take our sacrifices, and when we took the sacrifices there, we felt like we were fulfilling the will of God. Oh, it was just wonderful then, but what's happened to us now? No, he lifts his eyes toward heaven. After he's prepared himself with the word of God, he lifts his eyes toward heaven. He said, oh, great God, the awesome God, the one who is above all others. Because I'm going to tell you something. Daniel did not allow his circumstances or the circumstances of his nation dictate how he viewed God. Can I tell you something? When November comes and we cast our ballots and we get our next president, whoever that is, don't let who's in the presidency dictate how you view God. I know up there on Capitol Hill, they're making some bogus claims. I hear some of the laws they're trying to pass down, and we look at it and we say, oh God, why you allow this? Some people do anyway. Oh, I can't believe we live in such a time as this. Well, let me tell you, we're here now, but let me also remind you, God hasn't changed. Lift your eyes to Him first. Be reminded of how awesome He is. Oh, yes. He goes on to say, you're the one keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments. In other words, he said, God, you know, in the back of his mind, he's seen all the tragedies and all the issues and all the problems. He said, but God, you've been faithful to those who have been faithful to you. Daniel could say it in Babylon. Let me ask you something. I'm not just looking at you, looking down my nose at you, asking you this question. I've already asked myself this question, okay? If you got taken away from America, pulled into a third world country somewhere and put in some concentration camp, and I said, God forbid, I hope it never happens for anybody in this room. It's a terrible thing. But if you had that thing happen to you, at least just pulled into a foreign nation, your conditions were completely changed. You were brought into a foreign land. And you had to live out the rest of your life there after you had lived for 70 years in that foreign land, and you had watched one ungodly king arise after another. You'd lived through one regime of pride after another. You had watched world powers change hands time after time. Would you be able to still lift your eyes and say, oh, awesome God, you've been faithful to those that have been faithful unto you? Oh, would we be ready to throw a pity party? Not Daniel. Not Daniel. Notice, not only that does he begin with praise, but also he moves into confession. And what I love about this is that I want you to notice the plural pronouns that David uses. And I want to read just one verse to do it. You can go through this entire prayer and see it as he is confessing here. But notice, Daniel 9 and 5, we have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Now let me ask you, do you think Daniel was over there just living it up, living in sin every day? No, he wasn't. Do you think I like the way Brother Neff said it this morning in Sunday school. You think Daniel was in the sinning business? No, he won't. He got out of the sinning business. He was a saint of God. But you know what he was able to do in his prayers? He was able to connect with the nation that he loved. And he was able to cry out. Yeah, let me tell you something. Israel as a whole wasn't willing to cry out to God and say, we have sinned. But God raised up a prophet in the middle of them that said, I'll pray the prayer that they refused to pray. I say, God, let us be the intercessors that'll pray the prayer for those who aren't willing to say we've sinned. For those who aren't willing to say we have rebelled against the precepts of God. There are people living in our nation today. They aren't never going to stand up and say I've sinned against God. Oh, the homosexual community, much of it is never going to say I've gone against the plan of God. But can we be the ones that stand up and say, God, forgive our nation. Have mercy on us. Oh, in your judgment, remember mercy.
You say, Brother Shane, I've not been doing what they're doing. Neither had Daniel. But the heart of an intercessor does not. Let me tell you what an intercessor does not do. And I'm going to try to be reverent here. But an intercessor doesn't get at an elevation and look down on everybody else and talk about, I can't believe that they would do that. You know what an intercessor does? It gets right down there where they're living. And it looks around and says, Father, forgive us. Have mercy on us. And some people say, well, Brother Shane, you know, isn't God going to judge this nation for all it's done anyway? Oh, sure, the judgment of God's coming. Let me tell you, Sodom had no Bible. But God destroyed those two cities. And we're doing worse things, or as bad of things, I believe, as what was going on in Sodom in some places. But let me tell you this, outside of the gates of Sodom, over there in the plains of Mamre, there was a man of God named Abraham, and he was willing to approach unto God and remind God that in the midst of that wicked city, there might be some righteous people. Oh God, I don't believe that you will judge unrighteously, but you are the judge of all the earth, and you will do right. If we don't do it for anybody else, do it for my children. Do it for my children. Do it for some of your grandchildren, because they're going to have to live in a nation that may face the judgment of God. So can we cry out and say, oh God, forgive our iniquity. Forgive the sins of this nation. Oh, apply your blood to the hearts that will repent of their sins. Oh, God, help us. Oh, God, help us. Verse 13, he said, all this evil has come upon us, yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God. One sin that he highlights here, he highlights several before this, but one sin that he highlights was the prayerlessness of Israel. God had been trying to get their attention, and Israel refused to pray. Can I tell you, God's been trying to get America's attention for a long time. He didn't start last year. He didn't start 10 years ago. He's been trying to get America's attention for a long time. Can I tell you, he's been trying to get the church's attention for a long time too. And a lot of them, even when they see these tragedies and disasters, they just think it's part of global warming. They think it's part of the natural disasters that take place on the globe. Oh, I'm not here to tell you anything other than this. Oh, we better open our eyes as a church and say, Lord, if the church down the road isn't going to pray, if the people down the street aren't going to pray, I'll pray and I'll cry out to you. God, you've got my attention. Let me see what you are trying to do in this hour. Don't let me miss it. Don't let me miss it. God, help us. He says, neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God. Verse number 10, there's disobedience run rampant. But after he cries out in confession of all these things, notice he cries out for forgiveness and restoration. When was the last time we did it as for just this community?
And we said, oh God, forgive us as a community. Will you have mercy on our community? He says in verse 16, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from thy city, Jerusalem. I understand that we are not Jerusalem tonight. But can I tell you, God is angry with this nation. He is angry with this nation. He's angry at the greed that he sees. He's angry at the neglect of the poor. He's angry at our past or present racism.
Oh, I'm not here to tell you that I don't believe that we need to pay reparations to people, but I do believe we need to repent, because this nation does have a history of judging people based upon the color of their skin. I firmly believe that the reason we had a civil war in this nation is because it was the judgment of God for slavery inside of this country. Oh, I'm going to tell you today, I understand we've come a long ways from Jim Crow laws. Oh, but there are still places where it is present. I say, God, forgive our nation. Forgive anybody. Have mercy on those that would judge another individual by the color of their skin and not by anything other than that. Oh, God, forgive us. Let me tell you, God's upset at the sexual immorality in the United States of America. Oh, he's upset at our embrace of the sin of homosexuality and other deviant and debauched lifestyles. He is upset at it. Oh, he's upset at our murder of the unborn innocent lives of children, an entire generation silenced before they ever come out of the womb. God's angry with it. You will not convince me otherwise. God is angry at every teaching and rhetoric that tries to delete the mind from the teaching of God from children's minds. Oh, from the child's schoolhouse all the way up to the courthouse. God is upset with these things. Oh, but can we cry out, Lord, will you have mercy? We're not Jerusalem, but I do believe that we should avail ourselves of the prayer that cries for God to let his anger and his fury in some way, God, while you are judging, will you remember mercy? Because guess what? We're going to have to live in this nation if God tarries. We're going to have to live it. If the Lord tarries, Jesus doesn't come back, we're going to have to live in the United States of America. And I don't know about you. You know what? I can have Russia mad at me. I can have Iran mad at me. I can have any other nation in this world mad at me. Oh, but I don't want God mad at me. And I'm telling you tonight, he's mad. He's angry at this nation for what they have done so rebelliously. I'm not telling you we can stem the tide of disobedience and unrighteousness, but I do believe that he will hear our cry if we say, oh God, when you're pouring out your wrath, will you remember mercy? Oh God, let it be. Oh God, let it be. Oh, he says, he goes on to say there in verse 17, cause thy face to shine. Daniel wanted the glory of God to shine through the gloom of the hour. I say, God, let your glory shine through the gloom. I know it's bad out there. Some of those things I just mentioned, you see it on the news every single day, and it's talked about over and over and over again. But Lord, let us not be focused on the gloom, but let us be focused on the glory of God and say, Lord, even in this wicked nation, let your face shine upon your church and let the glory of God be seen in this wicked hour. And we can't pass it off to somebody else, because if we are the generation that sees the coming of the Lord, it is our responsibility to make sure his glory was seen before he came. Oh, verse 18. He says, we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousness, but for thy great mercies.
He said, Lord, I'm not presenting this prayer before you because I feel like we've just been so righteous or worthy of anything that you've done. I'm presenting this prayer before you because I know you're a merciful God. Can I tell you, we don't cry out for God to have mercy on America because we feel like America deserves anything from God. We cry out for God to have mercy on America because He is a God of mercy and His mercy extends unto every generation. Oh, God, help us. Latter portion of verse 18, he says these words. Or excuse me, verse 19. That's where I want to close. He said, oh, Lord, hear. Oh, Lord, forgive. Oh, Lord, hearken and do. Defer not or delay not for thine own sake. Oh, my God, for thy city and thy people which are called by thy name. It's like at the end of it, he just breaks out and he makes one petition after another. Oh, Lord, hear. Lord, forgive. Lord, hearken and do. Don't delay. Don't wait. Oh, God, we need you now. And I'm going to tell you, as Christians that live in the United States of America, we don't just need God to move in November. We need God to move right now in April. This month's about half over, but we need Him to do it now. God, it is expedient that you move for us now. Oh, David, as one man said, prayed like a great wrestler, eager to gain an advantage. He sensed that God was open to the request. And so you know what he did? He said, while the windows of heaven are open, I'm going to throw as many petitions in there while I can. Can I tell you, I do believe in some sense we face some element of God's judgment at certain times in this nation. But I don't think we've seen anything like it may be. Oh, but while the wrath of God is not burning hot in this nation, I say the windows of heaven are still open. Let us cast as many petitions as we can. They may not be great, eloquent prayers. They may not be hours long, but I say, oh God, save. Oh God, deliver. Oh God, set free. Oh God, cause your face to shine again in the midst of the darkness, and God, do not delay. Oh, can I tell you, God answers fervent and faith-filled prayers. For Daniel, God answered it. Oh, right at the end of this, listen to what the scriptures say. Daniel 9 and 20. And whilst I was speaking and praying and confessing the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I have seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. Don't you love it that when sometime while you're praying, He begins to answer it while the words are still in your mouth? You ever had that happen? I've had that happen. I wish it happened like that every time. I really do. There's sometimes we just take it back to our prayer closet time after time. Anybody else get a little weary sometime taking it back there? Lord, I prayed this prayer a lot. I'm just being honest with you. There's some prayers I prayed for a lot of years. I've been saved, you know, not as long as some. I've been saved for 16, 17 years, somewhere around there. And there's some prayers that I've been praying ever since I started praying as a believer. And I haven't heard God answer me yet. Maybe the answer has just come little by little over time. But I'm going to tell you one thing. When the windows of heaven are open, I'm going to cast the petition in. Because who knows, it might be the next time I pray that prayer that God answers it. It might be the next time. It might be next week. Oh, I'm not going to give up on God because He ain't giving up on me. And I believe He's a prayer answering God. Don't you? Let's stand this evening. My purpose in preaching this tonight, I know it wasn't as well developed, but I just felt the Lord leading in this direction. I say, Lord, we may not stem the tide of judgment, But can we just cry out like Daniel did there in verse 19? Oh Lord, will you hear us? Oh Lord, will you forgive as many as is possible? Oh Lord, will you hearken and do? Don't delay, God, not for our sake, but for the sake of your name. I believe he'll hear that kind of prayer if it's prayed fervently and with faith. Do you? So this is what I want us to do tonight. I want us to find a place to pray. It wouldn't be very right of me to preach about prayer and then just to send you home, would it? I want us to find a place to pray. But I hope and pray that after you get down here and pray, or wherever you're going to pray today or tonight, that you take it home with you. Go back to Daniel chapter 9 and read through there. I believe the Spirit of God living inside of you can show you some things that I didn't even mention tonight. And Lord, take it to our prayer closets and say, Lord, I may just be one man or one woman living in the midst of 350 or 370 million people, however many people in America. It may look like I'm really in the minority, and sometimes I feel like, what are my prayers really going to accomplish? But guess what? I don't know unless I pray them. Don't count God short. Don't sell him short. Because you never know what he might do. And you never know, it may not be, the story may not be told until eternity. So every head bowed, every eye closed, we're going to pray together, and then I'm going to release you to pray separately. But Father, we thank you. Thank you for your word tonight, Lord. Lord, do it now. Don't delay, God. I believe you're angry with the sins of America. I believe you're angry with the wickedness. I believe you're angry with the perversion. But I also know that you're a God of mercy. One who extends your mercy to every generation. We call out to you tonight asking, Lord, let our study of your word drive us to the prayer closet. And let us not sell you short, because, Lord, it may be our prayers that make the difference. Maybe not for a nation, but maybe for just one. And if for just one, it will be worth it. And I pray, God, help us to so pray with fervent, fervent faith that believes you in all things, Lord. Oh, let's find a place to pray tonight. Call out to him. Do it with fervency tonight. Do it with faith tonight, believer. Because I believe he hears us. I believe that he hears us. I believe he inclines his ear down and he listens. You say, Brother Shane, I haven't done some of these awful things that Americans have done. But can we connect with them on that level and say, oh God, will you forgive? Will you save? Will you deliver? Will you heal? Will you work? Oh, God, have mercy on America. Oh. God.